Right, the first reading comes from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 19 to 27. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. The second reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 15b to verses 21. God's chosen servant. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick, warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant who I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. Today, as Patricia said, we're having a World Cup-themed service because, again, as Patricia said, tonight sees the final match of the 2014 World Cup in Brazil. Now, some of you will be delighted at the prospect of getting the TV schedule back to normal. Is that right? Has anyone been missing anything? I know Rebecca, my wife, will be pleased to see Casualty back on a Saturday rather than a Sunday. I don't know, has anyone else been missing anything? Anything that been disrupted by the World Cup? But as for me, I've been looking forward to the World Cup for a long time. And some of us here, like me, will have been thoroughly entertained over the past 4.5 weeks. Tonight's final is between Germany and Argentina. Now, for those of you who haven't been following the World Cup, I'll try and not presume that you know much about it. What you will know, though, is that England have been very disappointing. And as you'll see on the next slide, that pretty much sums up our World Cup. We lost both the first two games and were knocked out before it really started for England. And I think that top picture with us lying on the floor with our heads in the grass pretty much sums it up. But that's all I'll be saying about England this morning, because I don't want to be depressing people. You'll be asking, maybe, why are we mentioning football this morning in a church of all places? Well, we're looking at the football this morning because in the Bible reading that John's just read to us in 1 Corinthians, and in a number of the Apostle Paul's letters, he makes reference to sports, surprisingly enough, and seems to be quite a sports enthusiast. Let me just recap on his letter to the Corinthians. As you can see on the screen, Paul talks in one sentence about athletics, and that's, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? He also talks about boxing, I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. And he also talks about fitness training. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Now, Paul was referring here to the Isthmian Games, which were a popular event at the time in Greece. And these games were actually based in Corinth, to whom Paul writes this letter, to the Christians there. What Paul did in his letters was use sport in order to liken the discipline, the training, and the commitment of being a champion athlete to that of being a strong, committed, and disciplined Christians. It made sense to the Apostle Paul to make reference to the things that excited people. So today, I just want to take a leaf out of the Apostle Paul's book and look at these two fantastic teams that will be in the final of the World Cup tonight and see what makes Argentina and Germany so successful on the football field, and in turn, glean what we can learn as Christians from their incredible achievements and use the inspiration of these teams to hopefully to inspire us in our everyday Christian life. So in preparing for the talk, I watched many of the games of the World Cup, which I'm sure you understand I was doing just purely as research for this talk. It is. You can ask Rebecca how many hours I watched of the World Cup. But as I were watching, I concluded that there are three things that will definitely have inspired the two teams that will compete tonight. Argentina and Germany will have been inspired by, firstly, the prize, the actual World Cup, what it means. Secondly, they'll be inspired by the training schedule and the commitment to discipline. And also, thirdly, their inspirational captains, both of the captains who unite the teams tonight. So let's first look at what's inspirational about the World Cup. Does anyone know how many nations attempted to gain a place in the World Cup finals when the qualifying rounds began? Does anyone want to hazard a guess? John? 192, not far off. Essentially, that's every nation in the world was trying to get into the World Cup. There's no doubt it's a truly worldwide event. Every nation would love the prestige of being the holders of the World Cup. Now, here is an image. Next slide, please, Anna. This is an image of Bobby Moore holding aloft the World Cup. Now, it's 48 years since 1966, and we still hold on to the fact that we once won this tournament. And David Wilkinson was telling me at the men's breakfast yesterday that he was there in 1966. I bet he would never have thought they would not win it again for what will definitely be over 50 years. This little gold trophy brings so much happiness to the winning nation. And at the start of the tournament, all the 32 teams were dreaming of holding it aloft, just like Spain did last time. Now we're down to the last two teams. Now, linking back to our reading this morning, we heard Paul talking about the prize when he said, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize?" And in Philippians 3:14, which was also a letter from Paul, he says, "I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So what's this prize that Paul's talking about? The prize for Christians is obviously far greater than this little gold football trophy I've been mentioning. The prize for following Jesus is an eternity with him once this life ends. Jesus, in probably the most famous quote in the Bible, says in John 3:16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that anyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Now, there's no greater prize than this, is there? And the difference between the prize, this prize that I've just mentioned, eternal life, and the biggest prize in world football, is that in the World Cup, you have to be the best to win the trophy. However, in the race of life, our everyday life, which we all participate in, Jesus will accept any person who comes to him, however they've previously behaved, if they're sorry for their actions and welcome Jesus as their saviour. So there's quite a big difference there. That eternal prize becomes ours at the moment we accept Jesus. Now, this has led to a T-shirt such as this being printed in the UK and in America. I'm sure whoever did these T-shirts must have misread the text, because Jesus was not a goalkeeper, but he definitely does save. So anyway, quickly getting back to the Bible. We read a quote from Isaiah in the reading from Matthew. He will not which John read to us. He will not crush those who are weak or quench the smallest hope until he brings full justice with his final victory, and his name will be the hope of the world. Wouldn't it be amazing, an amazing world, if everyone accepted this hope? We've seen a festival in Brazil where people from all corners of the world have converged on that country, Brazil, which has been coined as the spiritual home of football. Yet what a party it would be if all people turned to Jesus and accepted this hope. What an amazing privilege it is to be able to know Jesus as our Saviour and our friend. We often take it for granted, don't we? But surely we should be just as committed and fired up in our faith as the German and Argentinian teams are to winning this match tonight. Now, back in 2010, a player for Germany called Kakao, who was a committed Christian, played in the World Cup. He's not in the current squad, but back in 2010, he summed up the importance of this eternal prize as opposed to the prize of the World Cup. He was a substitute in the Germans' first game in 2010 and came on the pitch and scored within 2 minutes against Australia. That's him celebrating that goal at the bottom. He was a national hero to the German fans, yet he then got injured in the third game and had to watch the rest of the World Cup from the sidelines as his team eventually lost to Spain in the semi-finals. Whilst he was terribly disappointed, he said, "Before the World Cup, I used to think that you had to perform to earn God's love. He has shown me that the absolute opposite is true. He accepts me just as I am. I know that everything I have now is only temporary. One day it will all be gone. But if I live for God and trust in his word, these things will last forever. Jesus gives me security. He loves me." Now, this player could have been utterly disappointed that injury took away from him his chance when the world was watching. Yet he had his eyes firmly focused on what truly mattered, his relationship with Jesus. Now, just as Argentina and Germany will have their eyes firmly fixed on that World Cup tonight, which will actually be on the side of the pitch, so we as Christians can know with absolute certainty that if we have accepted Jesus as our Saviour, the prize of eternal life with Jesus is ours. Now, that's good news, isn't it? That's a reason for us all to be samba dancing and celebrating like the Brazilian fans. Well, not the Brazilian fans, the fans who've converged on Brazil. Now, secondly, I also believe that the players will be inspired by their grueling training schedule and their commitment to discipline. Now, discipline is the main thing here. What preparations have these German and Argentinian players been doing over the past month in order to get them ready to play in the final tonight? They'll have been together for over 6 weeks as a squad, working on their fitness, their shape and organisation. Their diet will have been key, and the coaches and managers will have been making sure, as far as possible, that nothing is left to chance on that pitch tonight. The preparation for the World Cup is absolutely key. Neither team would be in the final tonight without meticulous preparation. They'll have been committed to discipline as well. Both discipline in applying all they've been doing on the training pitch to take it onto the football pitch, but also to abiding by the rules so that it will not be disqualified. This leads me on to the story of a certain player called Luis Suarez. Now, even those of you who tried to avoid the World Cup will have heard of this man, probably, I hope. Who's heard of Luis Suarez? Have some of you heard of him? Okay. His team, Uruguay, had just beaten England, and he'd scored 2 goals now against England, and we saw him celebrating earlier on. He was one of the best players at the tournament, without doubt, and he and his team looked likely to go and match, if not better, the semi-final place they achieved back in 2010 at the last World Cup. Until this happened, and as you can see on the screen, the far right picture, it doesn't show it very clearly, but that's Luis Suarez biting another player called Chiellini of Italy, under no provocation, just because things weren't going his own way. It was unbelievable, wasn't it, for anyone who saw it? I just couldn't believe the pictures I was seeing. He was then banned from the tournament. His team slumped out of the competition. The whole nation's expectations collapsed because of one man's indiscipline. And you can be absolutely sure that at no point in Uruguay's training did that scenario of Suarez biting another player unfold. It just wouldn't have happened on the training pitch. The two teams tonight, however, are the embodiment of discipline. There will be no biting tonight, I can assure you. Well, I'd like to think not, anyway. So what does discipline and training mean to a Christian? We've seen what it means in the World Cup. First of all, I'd suggest that such a prize that we looked at of eternal life in heaven with Jesus surely deserves our greatest effort, our greatest wisdom and skill, our greatest focus, our greatest investment, our greatest sacrifice, and our greatest endurance. We know that nobody deserves a place in heaven, but if we are to receive the prize of eternal life through Jesus' sacrifice, we should give it all that we have, shouldn't we? We're told by Paul to run in such a way that you may win, to exercise self-control in all things, to be wise and skillful, and to be disciplined. Now, our training, I'd suggest, is what we're doing here today on a Sunday morning in church, where we're able to read God's word and listen to God's word, worship him through singing and prayer, and also through serving God using our gifts and abilities within church. There's a lot of people in church who are doing that this morning. Sometimes, as a Christian, it can be tough, though, to sacrifice our time, energy, and finances. It's not always easy to be faithful in serving God. But I just want to use one person as an example this morning, and I hope she doesn't mind. She isn't here, so I might get away with it. But I just want to mention Joyce Teasdale, who leads the children each week, not only on a Sunday morning, but at toddler group during the week, youth group on a Sunday evening. Now, Joyce sacrifices her time and her energy, which cannot be easy, but she consistently serves God by teaching children about him. And there are many others here in church who do the same, so that other people can grow in the faith as well as growing in the faith ourselves. But not all the training goes on in church. Many of us will read the Bible at home daily, listen to Christian radio stations, give and volunteer time and money, and also the gifts that God has blessed us with to help others. There are many other ways we can grow in our faith, or if you will, just to keep up with the sports theme, strengthen our spiritual muscles. Yet just like the footballer at the World Cup, if we leave the training base, if we leave church and consistently lead a life which is contrary to the training we have received, whether it be in the workplace, at home with family, in the pub, on the sports field ourselves for some of us, then we're guilty of turning our back on our training and ultimately God. The most damaging thing about this is sometimes we can be guilty of damaging the faith of other people in the process. But the amazing thing for all of us is that whilst the footballers on the pitch in the World Cup are self-reliant on putting their training into practice, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and help us put our Christian training into practice. When we've committed our lives to Jesus, we can allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, and also to help us have the right words to say and the right actions to take to help others grow in their faith. So we see this in another of Paul's letters to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22 to 26, where he says, "But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we're living now by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." So the Holy Spirit can transform us. Paul realized that the prize was not something to be hidden. Once we've received our eternal prize, we, like Paul, should be desperate to pass this on to others, to reach them with this amazing free gift from God. So just as a challenge this morning, let's not be liable to have moments of madness like Suarez unfortunately did, which destroyed all the positive work he had done in the World Cup. Let's use our training wisely. The privilege of leading a life that is pleasing to Jesus is a privilege we can all share in. So just as Argentina and Germany have followed that training to the letter, the challenge for us is to do the same and stay self-disciplined in our daily walk with Christ, calling on the strength of that Holy Spirit so that we may win others to Christ, just like the Apostle Paul did. Now, the third thing that will have influenced the teams without doubt is the positive influence of their captains. Argentina have a captain called Lionel Messi, who is widely regarded as the best footballer in the world. He's unbelievably skillful with the ball, and on four occasions in this tournament, he's scored the goals that have ultimately got Argentina to the final. He's also provided the pass in the quarterfinal, which led to a 1-0 win. He's a true inspiration to his teammates who actually look to give him the ball on every occasion that they can. And he's also not received a yellow card throughout the tournament. He's the very peak of his abilities and is a fantastic captain and a role model. For Germany, their captain is a defensive player called Philipp Lahm, who, though he is not as skillful as Messi, has been a model of consistency in making the German team so difficult to beat. He's got experience of the 2006 and 2010 World Cups, and that has been instrumental and crucial to his team reaching the final. These two men are both deserving of holding the trophy aloft tonight. Now, to highlight the importance of a captain on the football field, you need only look at Brazil, who had been tipped to win the trophy until Tuesday night. Their captain is one of the best defenders in the world, called Thiago Silva, an incredible defender who literally puts his body on the line and seems to get his body in the way of most of the shots of the opposition. He's a fantastic organiser of the team too. However, in the quarter-final, he received a yellow card, which meant that he was suspended from the semi-final. And without him, in that semi-final, his team, Brazil, completely crumbled. There was nobody in the team to lead this attack-minded but defensively ill-disciplined Brazilian team. And some of you may have seen it. They conceded 5 goals in the first 30 minutes of the game and were beaten by the Germans on Tuesday in an incredible game that finished 7-1. The captain was missing, and as a result, the team fell apart. So linking it back to our Christian lives this morning, the great thing is that we're led every day by the one perfect man who ever lived, who will never let us down. In football, the players need to listen to the commands of the captain in order to play to their potential. So too, we need to listen to every command that Jesus gives us throughout the Bible. If we're to accept Jesus as the Son of God, we should accept all that Jesus taught us and constantly look to follow his example. We need to continually focus on Jesus' teaching because he loves us all and he wants us to succeed in living a life that is how God intended it for us. In John 15:13, Jesus made it clear how much he loves us by saying, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." That's exactly what Jesus did for us. Linking back to the sports theme, he's the ultimate captain, the ultimate example for us to follow. Jesus will never let us down. So as I finish there, I hope that some of you will have found that useful. And as some of us watch the very best footballers on the planet perform tonight, hopefully we can strive forward in our own spiritual training, following the example of Jesus and striving forward to bring the gospel alive so that that prize of eternal life with Jesus can be ours and those who we share our lives with. Thank you very much.